Speak to the Bones. I've talked about several of the seeds for this book and moments when ideas sprouted that would lead me to create a healthy, active team. These were all parts of the process of reshaping my life and working through my grief. But the journey was a long, arduous, and sometimes wandering process. Before so many years had passed and I formed my team, God and I were still in a heated discussion. Actually, it was pretty one-sided. I felt cheated. I mean, I'd gone to missionary training school as a young adult. I was a loyal wife and active in my faith community. I unconsciously believed that I deserved protection and blessings, not trauma. I felt that I had the right to be happy. My family had the right to have a safe life. I had the right to be happily married. I had the right to be a wife, right? However, horrible things happen every day to people who are much better than I am. So clearly, those rules aren't God's rules. Relatively good behavior does not always shield us from tragedy. In my quest for grief recovery, I have concluded that there must be a deeper truth to this life than my comfort and safety. Clearly, comfort doesn't appear to be one of God's main objectives for me. I had to decide to make peace with that tension between my perceived rights and my reality. I ultimately chose, and still daily choose, to relinquish my perceived rights and accept what has been given to me. This became my Valley of Bones, the bones of the dreams I believed were mine, but that now lay bare and baking in the sun after many years of battles. When Sophia was 7 months old, Caroline, the nanny who had been with me for the last 6 months, decided to move back to her farming roots in Vermont. By then, I felt I could handle my girls, but still, the prospect of managing bedtime for a baby and a toddler on my own were slightly terrifying. So I concocted a plan. Often, I would drive my girls about 30 minutes to a nearby mall where there was an indoor playground. We brought packed dinners or sometimes bought a meal there. Afterwards, I would take the kids to the playground and let them run around until the mall was closed. I then packed them half-dozing into the car and voila, they would be in deep REM sleep by the time I arrived home. On one of those days, as I was working the intricate contraptions that were my children's car seats, I said a short prayer. It went something like this. God, I really need to hear from you. I am so hurt. Are you still there? I have no idea how to trust you again. Why are we going through this? Are you hearing me? Where are you in all this? No answer. Then I drove with my children to the mall. I fed Sophia a bottle as I watched her reclimb around on the foam sculptures of the indoor playground. A man sitting nearby struck up a conversation with me. He was a good old Georgia boy, thick as a bull with close-shaved red hair and a deep southern accent. He had some kids playing in the playground, too. We'll call him Bud. As Sophia fussed, Bud said, "Looks like she's teething. A really good trick for teething is giving a baby frozen waffles to chew on. They break down as they defrost, so they're not a choking hazard, and they make babies' gums feel better, too." I smiled a tired smile and said, "Thanks, that's a great idea." As we continued to talk, Bud asked what my husband did for work. I was still wearing my wedding ring back then, so it was a natural question. It was one of those moments that you connect with a stranger and tell him things you may not normally say. I told Bud the whole story, not just the sanitized version, which was that my husband had died in his car, implying that he had died in an auto accident. No, this time I went into all the details, and Bud quietly listened. When I was done, his blue eyes seemed to look right through me. "I'm a mechanic and I own my shop," he said. "Today, when I was working, I felt God's spirit nudging me to close up early and come to the mall. He had someone for me to meet there. I think that person is you." My eyes widened. I was stunned. Bud went on. "He has something to tell you. He wants you to know you are not alone and that he sees you. He's with you on this journey." I refused to be impressed with the coincidence of this message and instead issued a challenge. "Why would I have a baby in the middle of such terrible grief?" I asked. "How can he be in this?" Sometimes God gives us the task of focusing on being a parent for a while until we can handle the harder stuff. He has given you a gift to enjoy, the gift of your children while you were grieving, Bud answered. I see that several years from now, you'll be talking to lots of other people about this. You'll be teaching others. How can that be? I asked. I'm so damaged and hurt. I'm just holding on minute by minute, day by day. What could I ever have that other people would want? It's like this, Bud answered. There's a story in the book of Ezekiel about a valley of bones. Ezekiel's asking God for an army, and God tells Ezekiel instead to speak to the bones. First he speaks muscle, then flesh, then breath. You have to speak to your life in the same way. Speak hope, speak purpose, and speak life. Sat in silence. Ari came to hug me and run off again to play. Sophie was gnawing on a rattle. Bud gave me a slight smile. Yep, that's all I was supposed to say. Spirit's done now. Look up the story in the book of Ezekiel. It was really nice meeting you. With that, Bud rose and left. I never saw Bud again, and I never forgot our meeting. For me, that was one of many significant signs that God had not left me. My path had changed, to be sure, but God had not left. My chance meeting with Bud spoke to my bones, as I hope it speaks life into you and your circumstances. Bud's meeting with me wasn't just about me and my family. It reflects the words of Ezekiel, which are a message to all of us. Speak hope to the bones that are left from our broken dreams. In time, if we allow God to work in our lives, we will be renewed with strength, life, and even an army of hope-filled warriors.